Oh, I'd invite you to have a seat. And we're going to dig into this Micah 6:8 today. If you're a note taker, if you've got the sheet, let's just do this real quick. Not the opening line, but the next ones. Here's the fill in the blanks for this week. It's straight out of Micah 6:8. If you have your Bibles open to it. Here's the deal. Do justice. Do justice. Love. Mercy. Walk humbly. That's the whole sermon. You're getting nothing more today. Like for those that zone out early, go ahead. You can fall asleep. You can fall asleep. You'll never know why the sermon's going to end with me having a golf club over my shoulder. You won't know that if you do. But it's really simply. Do justice. Everybody say it.
Do justice.
Love mercy.
Love mercy.
Walk humbly.
Walk humbly.
Now you guys just gave the sermon. How great was that? So here's how it works. In Micah's day, they're struggling with living in a tov and ra world. If you've been going to Bible study, you know that opening line. This is what it says for the opening of Micah 6:8. It says, "He has told you, O man, what is tov." If you've been in Bible study, you know that tov means multiplication. Not morality, not mediocrity. We've talked about that. Tov means multiplication. Let me put it this way. Tov means that in every apple there are seeds to an orchard. Tov means that the way God made the world, it's supposed to expand. And yet, as things expand, as things multiply, they often multiply and get so big that they keep others from finding and living their tov. You've experienced it. Somebody that has such a great big personality that you don't feel you can get a word in edgewise. That's when tov becomes ra. And maybe you've experienced it in your own life where you've become ra, where you've said things that have done and broken and hurt people. And you've walked around and you've said, how do I make it right? What does God want? I've broken this. Who's broken a relationship in here? Okay, we have a very unaware crowd today. I want you to look at the person you're with and just tell them how they've broken the relationship. Right, we've done it. I was kidding. Some of you actually did it. Wow, you were just looking for that window. You're like, you. Man, we would have had hockey words, not church words. Right, because we've done it. We've done it. And if you're with your spouse, if you're with your kids, the question becomes, how do I make things right? What's it going to take? And when you realize we have an all-perfect God and we've broken that relationship, the question of the day was, you know, what do you got to do then? They were asking it. What do we have to do to make God happy? Is it this offering? Is that offering? Do I have to kill my firstborn kid? He says, here's how you do tov. Here's how you live tov. It's three easy steps. Do justice. Love. Walk. There, you're getting it. What's justice? Justice. Justice is equality. It's letting the punishment fit the crime. It's, and man, like, I know I'm treading here on some stuff, and this has gotten weird in our country. And there's all kinds of political stuff around this. There's all kinds of questions. How do we organize it? Are certain people groups being targeted for crimes unjustly? Are certain people doing the same job but not getting equal pay because they belong to this group or that group? Are some people getting into certain schools not based on their merit, but based on belonging to certain groups. Man, we got all kinds of justice things. And can we just own for a second, regardless of where you are on the political spectrum, that we're not doing justice? Like that we could do better? Now, church gets really uncomfortable when we start talking about justice issues, even though it's right there. What does Scripture say? The first thing to living tov is do justice. In your lives, right? It's really easy. It's really easy to stand as an outsider and go, well, I can tell you 14 things where this group isn't doing justice. I mean, right, most people I found in America either belong to one political party and hate the other one, or they don't affiliate with a political party and they hate both of them. But one thing they'll say is, it doesn't matter where you fall on the spectrum, one thing we can all agree on, Christian and not Christian, Democrat, Republican, is that we aren't doing justice. That we can do better. How? How do we do justice? Well, that's another sermon that'll be given in 10 weeks by Pastor Scott Hedke. I'm not here that long. I'll do justice, but here's the problem. Here's the problem. We gotta do justice. We gotta do justice. How do you live tov? Okay, let's try it again. Let's just do biblical. There you go. Now let's just stop there. Here's where it gets all messed up. Here's why we have such a hard time talking about justice. Because we've messed it up. What's the adjective? Or, I'm sorry, the adverb? What justice? What mercy? Oh. See, don't mess this up. We always get into a problem when the focus isn't do justice, but we start loving justice. Right? The Bible doesn't say love justice. It says do justice. By the way, let's get political for a second. Political is a Latin word, and it means the way we organize ourselves as a society. Isn't that fascinating? Nobody uses the... Who wants to get political? Who wants to have a society that's organized? I want us to be more political. Like, let's figure this stuff out. How do we do justice? Oh, but so often, I start loving justice. I start loving justice. I want the bad guy to get their just desserts. When it comes to, I want to be paid what I'm worth. I really care about justice, but see, Scripture says, love mercy. Love mercy. Do you? Do I love mercy? See, one thing I've figured out is that often I displace things, but I don't like it always when somebody gets what they don't deserve. When that person didn't work hard enough and they get the promotion. When somebody else takes the glory that I feel that should be mine. Man, anybody else get a little jealous? Now see, what Scripture says is love mercy. And here's what I figured out about me. Whenever I don't love mercy for that guy, it's holding up a mirror and going, man, do I accept the mercy for myself? Or do I think, if I just work a little bit harder, then this person will love me. If I just get it a little bit more right, then God will love me. Man, I when I was studying this verse, I went, man, how often do I love justice and not love mercy? Am I in a position where I'm just like what they're talking about in Malachi, that I go, no, I've brought enough, I'm really okay with God because, I mean, I got this collar on. Now, what's it look like to love mercy? To love it. I mean, when you get before your Heavenly Father, are you going to play the justice card? I deserve to get in a whole lot more than...
Right, we got a whole list, don't we? I mean, I could tell you about... we'll do that afterwards if you want to hear about and why I deserve to get into heaven and they don't. But the sad part is there's a whole lot of people who have done a lot more good than me. And I'm on their, let me tell you about Henry list.
No, see, when I get to heaven, I'm going to go, mercy. I don't deserve any of this. I don't deserve to be in your presence. This is an unearned, unmerited, free gift. You went to the cross for me. You bled and died for me. You gave yourself for me. I didn't deserve it. I didn't even deserve to be here in the first place. I didn't woo my mom and dad into making me. That's grace. It's all grace. We live this grace. How do you live tov? You do justice. And you love.
And you got to say that one with me, but you got to say it right. You love. Everybody just say love. You love mercy. The Hebrew word is chesed. It's used of God. It's that way God loves us, those graces. If you want to love mercy, just start waking up in the morning and making a list.
I said this in a sermon a couple weeks ago, and I swear by it even more now. It is not happy people that are thankful. It's thankful people that are happy. Just start making a list. What are the mercies God's shown me? And you're going to start loving them. You're going to start loving those mercies. And you're going to start realizing that when somebody else gets injustice to their benefit, it doesn't mean that they're getting a bigger piece of the pie, so you're getting a smaller one. It means the pie is even bigger than you realized. Do justice, love, and walk.
How do you walk humbly? You realize that you're living in this dynamic tension between justice and mercy.
It should cause attention. You shouldn't understand it. It should make you a little tense. It should humble you.
Now I know as I look at this crowd, I'm going to say a name that most of you don't know. Kendrick Lamar. Okay, I love the people that laughed right now. This is one of the things I'm going to miss about. This is a diverse audience. We have different ages significantly.
Now, this part was in the sermon, and I'm like, do I put it in? Don't I put it in? Do I put it in? Don't I put it in? And then he gets announced to play the Super Bowl halftime show next weekend when America has its highest religious event of the year, when all gather to worship and praise the almighty still-to-be-determined teams.
Or have they? Playoffs are today, right? Yeah, so today we'll figure it out. Sorry, it's in 2 weeks. Today's the 30th, not the...
Yeah. We don't know who we're worshiping, but America gathers to worship. And the Pepsi halftime show, it's been announced. Now, I am not saying, please, please, please hear me. I'm not saying go become a Kendrick fan. I'm not saying I agree with the man's ideology. I am not saying play the car if you're around children. Please, 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 please don't. He has an explicit label, and he's the first person that I have ever known that has an explicit label on his album that he earned it. But a friend of mine a couple of years ago said, hey, you need to listen to this album, and you need to just sit down and listen to the whole thing, and I want your opinion on it. Now, I guarantee when Kendrick plays the show, the song he will sing is Humble.
And the chorus is really simple. Sit down, be humble. Sit down, be humble. And the man is a wordsmith. The next line, sit down, be humble. I love that some of you are singing along.
Oh, fascinating. The biggest hip-hop star in the world is telling everybody, we need to figure out how to do this humility thing. Pay attention. Pay attention. I think how you do it is you stand, Kendrick, if you're listening today, wouldn't that be awesome? I so hope he retweets this. Kendrick, how do you walk humbly? How do you sit down and be humble? You stand between do justice, but love mercy. And don't confuse the two. Don't confuse the two. The other thing I want you to know about Kendrick, it's amazing. His album starts this way. The album opens with this line. Nobody pray for me. Doom, doom. Nobody pray for me. Doom, doom. Nobody pray for me. There's a reason I'm not a hip-hop star. How does that affect you? Three tracks later, he has this line. He says, since my grandma died, nobody pray for me. Now fast forward, if you don't know Kendrick, you know his work from the Black Panther album, where his hit song with The Weeknd is Who's Gonna Pray For Me? Don't miss this, church. The biggest stage in the world, the biggest stage in the world is asking a question. Is anybody praying for me? Don't miss the lyrics that sound jarring, nobody pray for me. He's saying, nobody is praying for me. Since my grandma died, nobody's praying for me. And then he asks, who's gonna pray for me? I throw that out to you, church. How do you walk humbly? How do you stand in this tension between do justice and love mercy? Well, scripture's really clear. We pray. We pray for our enemies. Not that God would do justice, but that they would receive his mercy. As I'm working with Brother Dog stuff lately, I've been just sitting down face to face talking to a lot of people. I had no idea how hard it was to just look at people in the eyes and go, hey, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? Can I encourage you to do the same thing? Who are those people that you're going, will you pray for me? What about your kids? Do your kids know that you're praying for them? What about your coworkers? Do they know you're praying for them? This is a game changer. Because prayer, there's a reason the tradition is to get down on our knees and pray. Because this is a posture of humility that we're becoming before an almighty God who's shown us great mercy. And only when we work from that mercy, when we love that mercy, can we learn to do justice. Let's pray. God, thank you for your mercies. Thank you that they're new every single morning. God, thank you that you shape us and you mold us by your love. God, thank you that your justice was poured out on the cross when you gave your life as a ransom from our sins. And God, teach us to walk more humbly, living in that dynamic tension, learning to pray for our enemies, learning to pray for those who persecute us, learning to start a community where we come together and we say, hey, here's the needs. Will you pray for me? God, we lift up those that need prayer right now that have asked. And we lift up those that haven't yet. God, on our prayer cross, there's all kinds of people dealing with COVID. Todd and Stuart, Arlene and Lisa and David, Sherry and CA. God, bring healing. Be with Bob and Anna as they're dealing with issues around hospice. Be with baby Caitlin and Bennett. Be with Adeline. Be with Larry and Whitney and Ken and Terry, Pastor Doubleday and Joshua. God, bring your healing. Not that they deserve it, but because you're a merciful God who loves his children. God, continue to shape us and mold us. God, let us hear the cries of the world. And let us answer the questions. When people say, who's going to pray for me? Let us be the first to say, God, here I am, send me. And then, God, humbly, we know that there's times where we don't even have the right words to say. We've seen suffering and pain and injustice to the point that we just need you to show up. And we don't got the right words to say. And so we join together and we just repeat the words that you taught us, the way you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, forever and ever.